Hi, this is Lewis C., and this is the Oracle Buzz coming to you from Riverview, Florida, and this time also from Portland, Oregon, with Eddie Alwood and Eric Villatoro. All right, well, I guess get started. Eddie, you said you went through the some of the Oracle blogs and had some 11G stuff. That's definitely, I think, the topic on everybody's mind. What kind of stuff have you been coming across?
Well, as you know, all the buzz has been about 11G for the past few weeks, and more specifically since Justin announced the availability of 11G for download on the 9th of August. So I went into my the AuraNA.info aggregator, since basically I do aggregate all the blogs there into a MySQL database. Unfortunately, it's not Oracle, it's a MySQL database. So I searched there for 11G, and I hit 98 posts about 11G since the 9th of August.
Wow.
So you can see the buzz there. It's all about 11G, not to mention the other podcasts and, you know, websites, all the stuff. So I'm talking about only blogs that are aggregated by AuraNA.info. You know, I encountered a few interesting stuff. We can go over that if you want.
Yeah.
So for example, now, of course, there are some posts that were created prior to the 9th. Of course, lots of them talk about the new features of 11G. Because I'm not a DBA, so I'm mostly interested in the development part of it, which is mostly SQL, PLSQL, new features and stuff. Of course, that doesn't mean that I'm not interested in database administration stuff, but it's not what I do on a daily basis.
Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah. I'm the same.
So, yeah. Well, one of the things that I that drew my attention is, for example, I'm going to actually say, go over the blog. For example, Oracle Today, which is Yas from Turkey, he mentioned invisible indexes in 11G. So I'm going to read a little bit from the documentation, which basically all the new features exist in the documentation. And most of the blogs, you know, basically either elaborate on, you know, the new feature from the documentation with some example and stuff. But beginning with release 11G, you can create invisible indexes. And what is an invisible index? It's basically an index, just regular index that's ignored by the optimizer. And basically, you can go to the documentation, read more about this. And one other thing I notice about the 11G features that is interesting is the Python group posted something about the automatic SQL plan management. Mm-hmm. And basically, they said that it's a killer app. What is a SQL plan management? It's basically a preventive mechanism that records and evaluates the execution plans of SQL statements over time and builds SQL plan baselines composed of a set of existing plans known to be efficient. And then the SQL plan baselines are then used to preserve performance of corresponding SQL statement regardless of changes occurring in the system. So it's mainly tuning a new feature in the tuning pack.
Right. I can see where that would be useful. I wonder where the invisible index would be used. I'm trying to think why you would want an index that you didn't have that the optimizer would ignore.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is basically when you want to test stuff, for example, if you want to test with or without an index and the impact of that on performance. Now, of course, you could just drop the index, you know, in prior releases.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You can make it ignore it. One that's already existing, you'd just say, ignore this in the future. Ah, I gotcha. Yeah, that does make sense.
Yeah, so you ignore it, and then you don't lose it. So you can make it visible again, while at the same time maintaining the, you know, the optimizer will still maintain the index or, the database.
Database will.
Yeah, so that's one use of it.
I know they added a lot more online features, like rebuilding indexes and things like that without locking the table. So I guess they've done a lot in that area with the indexing and tuning.
Right. There is, you know, when you lock a table, you can actually now specify a wait time. And that's another new feature. So you can, let's say, wait, you know, 1 minute or whatever. That's another wait attribute of the lock command. Let's see what we have here also.
I think
was that Eric?
Yeah, I think in the past there used to be a clause in the select statement for the open cursor in which you can say for the day of and wait or no wait.
Right.
But I guess you didn't define a timeout. I think there was a timeout, but I don't know where it actually was set up, isn't it?
I think at the database level, it did a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm. So, just curious about that.
Yeah, getting finer grained, I guess.
The other thing that is that may be useful, which is a trigger option, where previously when you wanted to specify how or the order of triggers.
Yes.
You know, before insert, you have two triggers that say before insert on a specific row. And then you didn't have an option to specify the precedence of which one follows each other, follows the next. So now there is a follows clause that using that you can actually specify that this trigger follows that trigger. And that way you have a specific sequence of triggers. So that's a cool feature, too.
Yeah, I'm hoping that one doesn't become too popular or too well-known anyway, because I can imagine business people coming and saying, yeah, I want my trigger to come before that trigger. Just
You know what? I try to not use triggers
Yeah, me
lot.
Too. Yeah.
You know, unless I have to. But, you know, there are lots of problems with trigger. One is, you know, they're kind of hidden.
Yep.
And so it's much harder to debug and see what's going on with an application unless you know it inside out. You know there is a trigger there. The other thing, you know, all the mutating table stuff, you know, errors.
Yeah, I try to put everything in an API if I can rather than triggers.
Yeah, that's true. The other thing that I picked up from Kevin Clausen's blog was the secure files option in database 11G, where it's kind of the what drew my attention is that secure files is going to be faster than like five times faster than the actual operating system files,
mm-hmm.
and it's used specifically to store LOBs and you know other media data types. So, and he was going to basically do some tests as well just to double check when I present that, you know, this is true. But, you know, Oracle claims it's five times faster than the normal, you know, how you data files.
Right. I was going to say, I did some reading on that too, and that's, if it's true, it'd be great. The one thing they did is, now to manipulate LOBs, you have two ways of doing it. One is the secure files way and one is the regular DBMS LOB. So if you want to take advantage of it, you actually have to move your code over to the new format. So that's kind of a pain.
Right.
But do you know if that's an add-on or if that comes with Enterprise, or do you have to pay extra for that?
I'm not sure, actually. I haven't dug deeper into this. So something to check.
Yep.
So, there is one other thing. Also at Amos Technology blog, there is a they wrote about a new feature which is the read-only tables.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a table read-only, and I'm gonna hear. Basically, what's happening here is previously you could make a table read-only by you know revoking privilege, you know just grant select on that table to other users, and that makes it essentially read-only. But as an owner, you can actually still insert an update into the table, but now you can alter the table and you know alter table name read only. That's it. And then even yourself, you cannot actually insert an update into the table. So And on the one of the comments of the blog was that, you know, you could make a table space read-only. Yeah, and even in prior to 11G, you could do that. But mm-hmm. now it's like kind of easier to make a table read-only. But I couldn't think of a scenario where you want to make a table read-only. So
can you do it at the partition level, I wonder? Because I could see that being useful where you have a data warehouse and you want your older partitions to be read-only for performance, but...
I don't know. The clause, you know, alter table read-only. I'm not sure whether you could do it at the partition level. That's another interesting thing. Yeah.
Should that make sense?
Yeah.
Uh huh. Because I remember when you're trying to have partitions that you wanna, you know, probably lock
because
you back them up or do stuff with them, you know, and that should be something that should be delivered in this release, I guess. Or at least ready.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another one that I was really interested in, I actually wrote a blog about it, which is the function result cache. Mm-hmm. Of course, I, you know, tell you the truth, I have not downloaded 11G yet. But I'm really interested about the new features because ultimately we're going to be using 11G. In fact, one of the podcasts I heard... from Oracle was they mentioned that like about half of the Oracle customers they still use 9i.
Yeah.
And you know I don't know the number of people, how many customers have actually downloaded and used 11G their production system. I'm not sure. It's still I'm not sure about that, you know.
At this point I would probably say none in production.
Yeah, zero. But at the same time, you know, it's good to know the new features because once you start the update or the migration, then you know exactly what's available to you and how you can take advantage of. One of the things that I would like to take advantage of right now, if I could, you know, is the function result cache, which is basically you can either make a function result cached in the SGA or make a specific query result also cached in the SGA so that it's in across sessions, so it's not for your own session, which is pretty cool, and it definitely makes processing much faster. So, and that's in PLSQL. That's a PLSQL improvement, which I really like. What other things? There are other new PLSQL compiler warnings, and you know all of these new features. Actually, Amos Technology blog, the blog of Amos Technology, has been really active in you know posting about these. So
yeah,
what about have you heard about the hot patching, like patches online instead of
That's cool.
Uh huh. I don't know how it's gonna work though.
Yeah, I like the what do they call it, where you can kind of like version your PLSQL so you can create it and make sure everything compiles but your old package is still running, and then you can say make this the active one, and when the old when all the sessions currently using the old package end, that old package goes away and all the new sessions start using the, I forget what they call that, I read that in one of the papers. That's very cool for rolling upgrades of applications.
Yeah, there's one interesting thing I read at Chris Muir's blog, The One Size Doesn't Fit All, is that's the title of the blog. It's that SQL Developer is now part of the Oracle Database 11G download.
Yes, they're deprecating the Windows GUI SQL Plus. They said the character based will keep coming with it, but the Windows GUI is being deprecated, and SQL Developer is replacing it.
Hmm. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
What other things? Well, you know, there are lots of stuff. We cannot go over every single one now, you know, because of the time. The time passes really fast here. So that's, you know, mostly what I would like to talk about today as far as 11G. I mean, I don't want... Yeah, the information is out there. The source of information mostly is the documentation. There are also demonstrations of how to install 11G on Linux. I believe Tim Hall wrote an article about it, and who did as well, you know, Howard Rogers too. So if you visit the blogs, their blogs, you'll see some information there. Also, this will, or Howard Rogers wrote about the new initialization parameters.
I'd see that.
LFG. Yeah. So the information out there, you know, you don't need me to tell you what's out there. It's just go out, you know, to the documentation and the new features, and you'll see that there.
Let me ask both of you, based on what you've been reading and learning about it, what is your number one favorite feature, you think, in 11G?
Now, I haven't got that much into it, but, the thing is, OdeLB has been released along with the database, so this is something that I'm really interested in, because it must should be that probably the new features are already included in OdeLB 10G, 11G.
Right.
So there's an OdeLB 11G and there's a database 11G. So it's supposed to have already something into the repository that you can manage into the database. So you don't need to learn stuff. You just create it in the repository and probably push it right away into 11G. So that's the stuff I'm really interested to learn now, no? From the OdeLB 11G. To see what's new, so I can just push the code into the database.
Yeah.
Without going through a learning curve, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eric's our resident data warehouse guru, so we're...
Excellent. You know, we have a data warehouse guru in our... where I work, and his name is Eric, too.
Oh, I see.
Oh, really? Yeah. It's getting popular. The other stuff is apparently Apex is included in the database now.
That's a good point. Yeah,
I was gonna mention that. So it's not only SQL Developer, also Apex, which is good for the Apex people like Dimitri and Johns and the rest of the gang. Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah, I haven't learned that much about it. I mean, I can do some application basic stuff, but I know Apex probably should be, you know, getting popular. What happens probably that there are many other solutions available now. That's why it hasn't picked up that much, but it's a really good product.
I've heard it's really big in Europe right now, and it's starting to get bigger in the U.S., but I guess it's really been adopted in Europe.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah, the thing is, when you have too much solutions, then they don't get as much popular as you just would like them, you know, to have.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I as a developer, PS SQL developer, I think there are some features that are useful for me, which is, as I said, the result cache. You know, you're caching the function result as well as SQL. That's very nice. And some other minor ones, like, you know, the trigger follows, but that's not a big one. Another one is like continue. There is a continue. I remember I read about this in one of the blogs, where you can you know, through a loop, I think you can say continue and then it exits the loop or something like that. I have to go look into it, but that's another nice feature as well.
I think it's kind of like a skip. I think basically it does it goes right to the end of the loop and then it continues with the next iteration.
Yep, it's to skip the rest of the code. Yeah.
I think that's what it does. I'm not sure, but I think that's what it does. In basic, that's what you do. Sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just saying, there's little things that make your life as a developer a little bit easier.
I think probably my favorite is going to be, and I'm sure I'll have a lot, is the native compilation. Not just of PL SQL, which they had before, but now you don't need a C compiler. It's you just say compile. They actually wrote a PL SQL compiler, and it can run outside the database. And I asked some questions for Bryn Llewellyn at what was it, last Open World? I think it was last Open World. And so that's very cool, and can go anywhere from 10 to 100% improvement. But in addition to the PL SQL native compiler, there's the Java the just-in-time compiler that actually natively compiles it just like it does PL SQL. So that you can do 30 to 100% improvement performance for Java in the database, and you can store that just like you do PL SQL, so in the future it'll pick it up automatically. So it's like a persistent just-in-time compiler, which is very cool.
anything that improves performance is very cool, yeah. Which is excellent.
Yeah.
You can compress also the dump files today. Also, you can zip the files like DMPs right from the export file.
Oh, can you really? Is that part of? Oh, that's part of export. Oh, that's right. You know, I did read that. I remember now you say that. Yeah.
Yeah. You can chunk it to 10-50%.
A lot of new features.
Yeah.
Talking about all the new features, one thing I did want to mention was this. I read in, I think it was Intelligent Enterprise, where they're talking about how Oracle is kind of redefining what a database is. They've pushed the OLAP tools in so that your cubes now can work with materialized views, and you can use regular SQL to query them. They're really kind of making the database the center of applications, but every place I've worked for the last few years is kind of moving away from the database being the center of the application. You know, like I've been told, you know, no, we're no longer using views and we don't want to use PL/SQL on the database. But Oracle's adding all this extra stuff that lets you do all this stuff. So what is y'all opinion on A, is it a good idea to push all this in the database? And B, I guess you can tell my opinion is the business logic should be in the database, but it seems like everyone else in the world is going away from that. So what is y'all's opinion on that?
Well, the database, what database? That means database. So we store data in database mostly. So for sure, the data was going to still live in database. As far as moving the applications database, I think, as you said, I am all with moving the business logic database. Actually, in my current project at work, we're rebuilding or migrating from Ibn Suite 11.0 to 11.5, and during the migration, we're optimizing the code and moving all the logic for the custom code from the front end, which is a web front end, to the back end as PL/SQL Store procedures. So I think PL/SQL is here to stay and will be the best thing to do. The best practice is to put all the business logic in the database as stored procedures, and of course your data is there. I mean, that's the minimum you require from a database.
Yeah, I also agree with that. The other thing is, I heard comments, you know, always that people saying that PL/SQL eventually is going to go away and people, they don't want to do it. But the thing is, when the time comes to do code and deliver it, that's when you're going to know if something's going to stay or go away. If you are faster delivering your projects using PL/SQL, I don't think it's going to go away that easy. Because at least I am, you know, able to do lots of stuff really fast using PL/SQL.
I totally agree with that. The thing I'm running into is that the argument that you get, and it's usually when Java people are in charge, is that, Java's a standard language, and PL/SQL is Oracle proprietary, and, they want to move to standard direction, so they're going to do just SQL against the database. The SQL will live in the middle tier in Java, and they'll use something like Hibernate to connect. It's kind of hard to argue against that because, I mean, not from a function or functional point of view, performance point of view, getting it done faster point of view. I don't think you can beat PL/SQL. But when they do the argument of, well, it's Java standard and PL/SQL is not, it's hard to. I mean, that ends the conversation. It's like, well, if that's your only criteria. It's hard to argue.
Well, you know, if your PL/SQL, which is your business logic, that's what it is. If it is stored in the database, well, you know, PL/SQL or Java, it doesn't matter. I mean, as long as your business logic is in database, for Oracle, it's mostly PL/SQL, then you're going to take advantage of the database security, you know, backup, all the other, advantages of being in the database. You can move your database from one place to another without worrying about the middle tier or any other, third-party things. You know, it's all within, encapsulated within the database. So that's another advantage.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
May I?
Yeah.
You know what I've seen also, that one thing, basically, when you have XML, basically, if you're going to have an XML source or target system, and it's not exactly a plain structure. No, it's not like having a parent-child table and all that stuff that we know already.
Uh-huh.
Probably PL/SQL wouldn't be the best suitable code to, or the most suitable code to do that. In that case, I think probably it should be something else. I guess Java, or I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but because the database is XQuery now, so.
Yes, this is something that I haven't.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, there was like 3 or 4 places on which I saw projects from going out from XML and putting the data into relational tables again. But I guess because people were not ready, or I don't know if the people that I was working with, they were not capable of doing a lot of XML stuff. But basically they moved back again stuff from unstructured to, you know, parent-child relationship tables, you know. That's what I think, at least 3 projects, couple of times.
Right.
I don't know if it's probably a learning stuff that they need to do, these people, to keep going with XML, or...
Yeah, See, XML, Oracle has a great support for XML through XMLDB,
mm-hmm.
And in my current project, we're actually using Beeple to route data and... orchestrate different processes, which ultimately this data will be, given, if you will, to stored procedures in the database in form of input XML type input parameters. So when you get that as an XML database, you have to basically learn XMLDB and how to extract the data.
Oh, that's good.
I think we got a pretty nice overview of Oracle Database 11G. Now, I'm not going to talk about 11G or blog about it for the next 1 year. We've heard enough. That's enough is enough, people. No more 11G, people. You know, I still have... I'm looking at my my bookshelf right now, and I can see Oracle 8i DBA Handbook.
I've got that book.
It's still there. You know, along with the Oracle Expert Database Architecture for Tom Kite.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, it ranges. Speaking of Tom Kite, you know, he's like disappeared from the blogosphere, you know. I don't know. Have you heard anything about
that? Actually, I got to work last Monday, and I had a voicemail on my work answering machine, my, voicemail, whatever. And I listened to it, and it was Tom Kite. That did like a broadcast message, I guess. I think it went out to everyone who's a member of the IOUG. And he's doing, he's doing some kind of classes or conference or something, kind of like what Steve Feuerstein did with the OPP. I think Tom is doing something like that. And I think they said October. I'm not going to be able to go. It's going to be hard enough just getting to Open World. But I thought that was interesting because it's like, no, that's neat. You come to work and you have a voicemail from Tom Kite. But,
Man, we should add it to the podcast, or you know, ask for his permission.
That's true. I didn't think about that. So I'll have to go online and look. Maybe put something on the blog or something. But yeah, it was interesting. It was some kind of a 1 day thing, and he was doing like pre-registration. If you signed up early, you got a discount or something. So
interesting.
Yeah,
I must be also busy writing his next
book. Yeah. And traveling. He travels. Jeez and Pete's.
So you're going to Open World, huh? Finally?
Yes. Eric.
Excellent.
Eric, are you going to be able to go to Open World?
Which one?
Open World in San Francisco in November.
Well, my brother wants to go, so I think I have to arrange stuff to go also.
Cool.
He's going to be there.
Oh, he is going to be there. Cool.
Uh-huh. So he's going to go to get to the visa stuff and, you know. And soon I will be hearing from him how did he go with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to it. This week I have I'm actually presenting at the SOUG again, which I haven't done my presentation yet, so I should probably start on that today. And I'm doing a webinar actually on Enterprise DB on Wednesday, I think. So, be a busy week.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to have fun. That's all right, well, if that's about all the topics, I guess thank everybody for listening, and thank you two for coming in and joining me.
Well, thank you, Louis, for letting us join you on your podcast, and looking forward to, you know, to seeing you in Open World.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Thanks a lot, Louis.
All right, thanks. Y'all have a good one.